Communication and conflict is, I picked that among all because that is one of the central issues that's experienced in marriage. That's one of the central hard things that married couples experience. Then I'm going to, I picked the sex and fidelity session because that's typically one of the most dangerous things for a couple. And so most common, most dangerous. There are lots of others that we could spend time on, and maybe in the future we will. And if you have questions or need to work through something with your spouse in the future, I'm happy to talk through that. But what we're looking at is most common, most dangerous. Okay. Then we're going to go back into kind of the thematic understanding of like the purpose of marriage. And so if you'll look at the communication and conflict handout, we talked about this last night. We address these things, and I said this is the framework that we're using for the next two sessions. We're going to remember design, okay, how was marriage created, and we're going to consider communication as we remember the way that we were designed, okay, so mainly by husbands leading, wives submitting, and then we're going to remember needs. So remember when we looked at Ephesians 5, the commands that are given for a husband to lead as Christ, and for a wife to honor and submit to her husband as church, as Christ, those are given to address the need, and they're given to address weaknesses, okay? So we're going to consider communication and the needs and the weaknesses that are often experienced in communication, okay? And then we're going to remember redemption. It's always really important that we finish up remembering redemption because, remember, we're the reflection of Christ in the church. We're not the perfection, right? We're not Christ in the church. Okay. All right, so I'm going to pray for us, and we'll dive right in. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We pray that you would give us all the energy and the attention that we would need to learn and to grow and to become more faithful as husbands and wives, and that you would strengthen this church, and that this church would overflow in an abundance of health in marriage, and that that would impact our community around us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so in Proverbs, Proverbs 24, verse 3, and I was thinking about maybe doing another one of these for like parenting later on, a parenting boot camp maybe, and this would be a central verse for that. But in Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage war, and in abundance of counsel, abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth." So when you see the terms wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the Bible, especially if you're reading the King James Version or the New King James Version, they really, really faithfully communicate those words over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament. It's creation language. In Proverbs 4 and in Proverbs 8, you see it says that it is by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that God created the world. In Numbers and in Exodus and in Leviticus, as the temple and the tabernacle are being constructed, the plans for the tabernacle are being given, and these special men are being equipped to build this tabernacle, this new Eden, right, this new garden, they are equipped with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So, men, you ought to, if you are going to honor the design of God, you ought to take up wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That is how you are to establish your house. Now, if you have wisdom and knowledge and understanding, how is that primarily communicated to those around you through your actions or through the way that you speak? Yes. Both, yes, but primarily through the way you speak. You are a speaker. We love the, like, I'm a man of action. No, you're not. Like, you need to talk, all right? You need to speak. And so as we remember design, it's really important that we remember that husbands are designed to lead with loving, life-giving leadership. So when we talk about communication, what that means for you is that you are the leader of communication. Now, in our household, I'm more of an introvert. Last night, when I was done with this, I was done. I'm done. Like, Saturday afternoon, I need so much nap. I need all the nap, okay? Because I'm introverted. Melissa's an extrovert, right? And so what that means is, like, she's more likely to say words. We'll be brushing our teeth at night. I'll put my toothbrush in my mouth, and she'll immediately ask me a question. And I'm just like, I'm brushing. She's a talker. I'm not. I'm not a talker outside of, like, this is great. I like talking now. But I'm not extroverted. But what that has done in our society is we take up these ideas of just like, I'm not a talker. I'm not like a, but men, you have to be. You have to be in your home. You have to be the one leading. And this means that you need to lead with the big things, big ideas, things like vision, the vision for your household. So you're diagnosing, where are the problems? Where are the weaknesses? Where are the gaps? You're asking how the children are doing. You're planning. You're helping with the plans and the budgeting and the schedule. That's all under your responsibility. You are responsible for all of those things. Now, how many of you, when you think about planning, budgeting, and disciplining the children, how many of you think about your wives? That's typically her. You don't have to raise your hand. I know it's true for many of you. Because it is very true for my marriage for many years. I was just thinking like, all right, she's the one that knows how the kids are doing. She's the one that knows where the money's going. She's the one who's managing the schedule. And that's because she's really gifted in those ways, and I'm not. I'm really, not, like, she'll be like, all right, let's get ready to go. And I'm like, where are we going? It's just it's this thing that's been on the schedule for 4 months now. She's really good at keeping that. I'm not. But ultimately, that all comes under my responsibility. It's my responsibility. So vision, do you have goals, dreams, hopes? Have you communicated about those things? How regularly do you communicate about those things? When you think about diagnostics for your home, how do you think these things are going in your home? How are each of you doing? How's your wife doing? How are you doing? Have you communicated how you're doing to her? Where do you need to grow? Like, do you have those conversations with your wife? You sit down and be like, where do I need to grow? How do you need to grow? How can I help you with that? Is there anything pressing or sad or lingering or super joyful? How are the children doing? Are they being discipled faithfully? Are they being disciplined faithfully? Are they being brought up in the discipline and nurture of the Lord? Where are the problems, concerns? Does dad need help from mom in a certain way? Does mom need help from dad in a certain way? Is there a particular issue with a particular child? What do we need to do logistically about that? Planning. What's coming up? Are we overloading ourselves? Do we have enough rest? Are we spending our time wisely? Do we need to adjust? Budgeting. Are we spending money wisely? Are we giving faithfully to the church? Are we being charitable outside of our home? Do we need to save more? Do we need to take a financial stewardship course with Uncle Wes? That's a really good move, I promise. All this in addition to the spiritual leadership of the home, which demands communicating the word of God to your family. That is your priority. You are the leader of your home. It is your leadership responsibility to speak the word to your family. So wives, as husbands are leading with life-giving, loving leadership, wives are to honor and to gladly submit out of honor. And so wives are responsible to help their husbands by filling in his gaps, clarifying, organizing, honoring, etc. Remember the transformation that happens to Adam when Eve comes. There's this fullness, there's this completion, right? To Adam and to his task because of the addition and the help that Eve is. So you're not competing for authority or demanding autonomy in a certain realm of life. You are there to help clarify and strengthen direction, to ask good questions, to share your desires and hopes and fears, to give your perspective, to share your wisdom, to fill in the gaps. You have this guy that he's going to be really weak in ways that you're really strong. That's a glorious thing. Like, you guys get to fit together to make that work. He's going to forget things. He's going to misstep. And there are so many ways to remind and encourage redirection and to point out oversight without being contentious. You get to maintain the center, right? Remember that your husband is forward, conquest-focused, dominion-focused. He's going to see things from a very different perspective than you. since your orientation is towards the home. And he needs your perspective. He needs you to recenter him every day. He needs to find like a home base in you. Now, in our home, Melissa keeps the calendar. She submits tax info. She's more in tune with finances than I am, because she's better at all of that than I am. And that doesn't mean that I'm abdicating in those roles, because we regularly sit down to go over those things. I'm in touch with what's happening, right? She's using her skills and her abilities that I don't have, and I'm just making sure that I'm there to support and help and to make sure that I'm a part of the vision and keeping track of where we're at. We often sit down to go through these things, and this isn't a lack of leadership on my part. And so I'm totally aware that like your homes are going to look different. Your skills are going to land differently. People are going to, you're going to be able to share responsibilities in a way that like can look very, very different from home to home. And so don't hear me saying like, all right, mom does the dishes and dad balances the checkbook. That's not that we have checkbooks nowadays, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like you guys don't have to, you don't have to have these culturally linear, like gender roles, right? But reality is in your home, man, you must lead and you must communicate clearly in those ways. You need to be in tune with what's happening. So let's move on to remember the needs. All right, so we've talked about how man and woman are designed. Man's designed to lead. Woman is designed to submit out of honor. And remember, the commands are given to address the needs. We were need, which means that husbands, do you guys remember what husbands need?
Respect.
Respect. And what do women need?
Love.
Now, does that mean that husbands don't need love?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't mean that women don't need respect, right? But the way that we were created and the weaknesses, they're like what men are primarily, the role that they're given, they need respect and communication. So ladies, you can respect your husband by not being demanding. So in a minute, we're going to talk about the temptations that women face, and one of them is to be quarrelsome or demanding in communication. Oftentimes, this is induced by a husband's lack of leadership in communication. But even when he's not leading well, you need to remember that sinning in response to his lack of leadership is not going to make things better. It's going to make things worse. Okay? So if you're feeling anxious and fearful because he's not leading well, he's not communicating clearly, that does not justify being quarrelsome. He needs respect. And if you have a respectful posture, that actually helps him realign more faithfully quickly. You can respect your husband by guarding your tone and your posture. So let your speech be gracious, Colossians 4:6. Now that's obviously for everyone. Everyone needs to let their speech be gracious. But like, take that up as remembering your role as you speak to your husband. So things like sarcasm and eye rolling and scoffing and sighing and interrupting are all things that make it impossible to feel respected. Now this is something that you have to grow in. There are differences from home to home, from culture to culture. And Melissa and I, for instance, come from families that have very, very different communication styles. Her family is pretty loud and boisterous, and they talk over one another, and sometimes they get a bit dicey, and they sound angry when they're not. And so, there have been times where Melissa is just talking to me, and I think we're in a fight, right? And that's just because, like, she's from a family where there's like things escalate really quickly in terms of tone. And in my home, we're all like, you know, laid back Southern drawl, chill. And when you're talking like you're angry, it's because you're angry, right? And so you need to learn one another, and you need to respect where one another are coming from and learn how to communicate in a loving way and be patient as you learn that. This is particularly true in public and in front of the kids. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. So every sitcom you watch presents the husband as a dingbat, and the wife is this poor thing who's like super smart and has to put up with how stupid he is all the time, right? It's culturally acceptable for spouses to talk to one another in really disrespectful ways in public and in front of the kids. This is especially true from the wife to the husband. And we should be different. Christians should be different. You should ask yourself, do you undermine your husband's leadership in front of your friends or your kids or your family when he's around, when he's not around? Or are you the crown of your husband? Now, wives, what do wives need?
Love.
Okay. Man, this is probably the simplest thing I'll say all weekend. Probably the simplest thing I will say all weekend. The best way to love your wife in how you communicate to her is simply giving her more communication. Like, steal your patience with fears and anxieties and complaints and sit down and give your wife time, lots of time, to have communication with you. Women need so much communication. When I worked for CVS, I was a regional manager for all the Long's drugs around here. And so I would go from Long's to Long's. And one of the stupid corporate things that I had to implement at this mom and pop grocery store that CVS had just bought was this like shift by shift team huddle, right? And in this team huddle, everybody just talks about like what's already been done, what needs to be done, who's going to do it. And it's just like you come out with all these corporate jargon things like action items and crap like that. And it's just, anyways, I didn't like that job, you can't tell. But like Melissa needs more communication than that. She needs like shift by shift rundown of what's going on. We try to look at the calendar together every Monday or every Sunday evening. But often, more often, we're looking at the calendar every day or two, sometimes twice a day. Like we'll have in the morning, what are you doing today? We'll go through it. Mid-afternoon, it's like, what are we doing tonight? They sit down, we go through it. That's really helpful for her. And it has been really frustrating for me. And I'm learning that's I need to give that to her. I need to be able to give her the communication that she needs. Even when I'm like, we already talked about this. No, you need to be available and ready to communicate with your life. And when I feel like her questions are starting to trend towards demanding, I know that the problem is not that she's nagging or being a busybody. The problem is probably that I'm not communicating sufficiently. I'm not listening well. I'm not loving my wife and how I talk to her. So let's talk to weakness. So remember how you were designed. Remember what you need. Also, remember your weakness. What is it that husbands are tempted to do since the fall?
Abdicate, domineer,
right? So, ask yourself, do you make time for your wife to speak to you? If not, you might be dominating. Your inaccessibility might be oppressive to your wife. This is my usual problem. I communicate very minimally, and the people that work at KBC and work with me can testify to this. I communicate very minimally. Here's the plan. Let's move forward, right? I communicate very minimally, and then I expect Melissa to follow, no problem. And what this is comparable to me being like, we're on a bridge, and I'm like, all right, everybody jump off the bridge, right? And let's go, right? And I didn't say anything about how the bridge is on fire, and the water is only 12 foot down, and I'll make sure to keep an eye on the little boy, and we're gonna swim to the right when we get the water. I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is let's jump off the bridge. And Melissa's like, what? You know, that's not how you want to communicate. You need to equip yourself to communicate more faithfully, and not doing that is a form of domination. It's domineering, it's oppressive to your wife. Abdication is probably more common among men, and there are times when I abdicate. It works its way into our lives through ideas like she's better at planning things than I am. She's the one who likes communication. I'm just not good at that. Oh my gosh, Melissa.
That's her calendar.
That's okay. So it's a reminder. It works its way into our lives by ideas like I'm too busy at work to keep up with the calendar, to keep up with the schedule. I'm too busy. She's going to keep track of the kids. She's going to keep track of like the events and things like that. I'm just going to come home. or an idea like, we'll figure it out when we get there. We don't need to plan, we don't need to vision cast and things like that. We'll figure it out. And listen, men, that is a glorious like creation reality for you to be able to hit a brick wall and figure it out. That's what you were designed for. Your wife was not designed that way. She needs to know. And it's your responsibility to communicate that to her. Wives, what are wives tempted to do? Usurp, right? Usurp their role, right? To take the husband's role. You may be more skilled at some things. Again, Melissa is better at handling money than I am, and I'm happy to let her manage most of that. But she can't shut me out of it, right? So don't undermine your husbands through how you communicate with them. Women, modern men, listen, modern men are trained that we are discipled by our society to shut down, to withdraw. Like our society tells us to shut up. Men are hated by society. And so it's really tempting to do this, especially when he's done a poor job leading. Your idea might be, I'll just do it. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. And you do all the planning and the taxes and thinking about the future or whatever. And when you find ways, to respect him, you are being, you're inviting him into faithfulness. Remember that. Like if he's failing, if he's letting you down, and you respond to that in a way that's respectful and loving and supporting as a leader, then you're inviting him into faithfulness. If you get frustrated and you get anxious and you get fearful and you let communication become contentious, it's just making it harder for him to reorient towards faithfulness. Respect is, let's remember, it's really important that you remember that respect is not silence. It's faithful, calm, constructive support in your speech towards your husband. So we talked about design, we talked about needs, we talked about weaknesses. Let's talk briefly about remembering redemption. Okay, that's the order that we followed yesterday. We talked about how man and woman is created, how marriage was designed, the roles that were given, and then how it was ruined, and then it's redeemed, right? Communication is the central source of sin against one another in the home. We violate the principles that we just talked about all the time, right? So all these things that we just said, like, we violate those principles all the time. You're going to forget your spouse's design. You're going to forget their needs. You're going to have your own weaknesses exposed. And if we let that go undealt with, it builds into a mass of bitterness and conflict. But the gospel makes it possible for us to reconcile instead of sitting in brokenness and bitterness. Confession of sin and reconciliation is like picking stuff up off the floor. Why can't I say that? If you pick something up immediately, your house stays clean, right? So think about your marriage as a floor, right? You drop something on the floor, whoops, pick it up, deal with it, right? If you leave it, and you drop something else, and you drop something else, you drop something else, and you just say, I'll get to it eventually, what you're doing is you're creating clutter. What you're doing is you're going to create like a weekend of miserable, like deep clean of your house, right? Whereas if you pick it up immediately, you have a clean house. And just like it's hard to rest in a cluttered house, it's hard to communicate in a cluttered marriage. So confession and repentance is vital. We need to take up in communication, we need to learn how to regularly confess and repent and be restored to one another. That is how you maintain communication that is loving. That is how you maintain communication in ways that honors one another. And so, when you sin, you can repent. If you don't repent, you're leaving stuff on the floor and it's going to build up into a big mess. And when I say repent, I mean truly repent. Okay, so you can say something like, I'm sorry, I said some things I didn't mean. I'm sorry you're frustrated. I'm sorry, I was frustrated. None of that's genuine repentance. Don't apologize for someone else's. Don't say, like, I'm sorry, you're frustrated. That's not repentance. Don't say, I'm sorry, I said something I didn't mean. That's not true repentance. So many of you, I've talked to you, I've given you like the list of like the way we want to define sin. It's not coming up with modern terms. We want to use the Bible's language. So when you sin, say something like, I sinned against you, I was angry, or I was harsh in my speech, or I was not honoring you, will you forgive me? That's a biblical apology. That's biblical repentance. And it can result in reconciliation. The offended party needs to respond with a forgiving attitude. If your husband comes to you and says, I sinned against you, I didn't communicate faithfully, I got angry and I spoke harshly, will you forgive me? You are obligated to forgive him. And you can be immediately restored. Like, you can have a clean floor. Your house can be decluttered, right? You don't have to let it build up. Deal with it immediately. So the problem with communication, oftentimes, when we talk about these things, the problem isn't so much that you didn't know this. Like, deep down, you know this. And now you have categories for it, you know it more. The problem, though, isn't necessarily that you didn't know this. The problem is that you didn't deal with it. You don't deal with it when you mess up. Moving forward, don't take this and say, well, now we'll never have miscommunications. If you think that, don't think that. What you need to do is take this and say, when we have miscommunications, when I fail in how I'm designed, when I fail to meet my spouse's needs, when my weaknesses are exposed, there's redemption in Christ. There's a way to fix that immediately. I can just say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And they can say, I do forgive you. I love you. Let's be restored. You don't have to let your house get cluttered. There's redemption because of the work of Christ. When you think about the love of Christ, oftentimes we think about it like, I don't know, Jesus did us a favor, and we're going to show up in heaven, and God's going to be standing there like, do you know how much we did for you? Do you know how much it cost to get you here? That's not the reality. The work of Christ is so effective, so perfect, that when you get to heaven, you're called a child, you're embraced as a child, you're made glorious and perfect. No one's going to be like we're going to be singing praises about the sin that God delivered us from. Like, just look at how messy we were and look at the redemption we're made into. Look at the beauty that we are transformed into. You can have that in your home. When you mess up, because of Christ, you can be restored immediately. So remember these principles of communication. Remember that you're gonna make mistakes, and remember that you can fix it immediately through conflict, through the biblical repentance, confession, repentance, and restoration. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Ladies are going to stay in here, and men are going to go out here. And you're going to ask yourselves, you're going to answer the questions in the back here. Okay? And when I say 20 minutes, I mean 19 minutes starting right now. So let's go.